This is CliffCentral.com.
Richard, are we on track with the financial pack for my presentation to the board next week?
Well, hopefully. The team's very short-staffed, and it's taking such a long time to find a suitable financial manager for the division. We're way behind on all our forecasts and reporting.
Why don't you speak to the finance team? They're a consultancy that can help you with an experienced interim financial manager. You can have somebody to help you almost immediately. They'll hit the ground running with no long-term contracts and no upfront placement fees.
Go to thefinanceteam.co.za.
Welcome to the business section of our business masterclass. I'm Richard Angus, CEO of the finance team, your part-time financial executive solution. Joining me in studio today is Safia Boulay of New Habits, Making Shift Happen.
How's it, Richard?
And staying on from our previous segment, Belinda Wagner, Wagner Consulting. Thank you, Belinda, for staying with us.
Pleasure.
Last week, we spoke to JP Valverde of the Valverde Eco Hotel. Got managed to get that out, Safia. I battled with that name last week. A really great podcast. They have an eco hotel out in the cradle. A really, really impressive business doing some amazing things. If you haven't had a chance to listen to that podcast, download it from our website and get some insights into how you can help in that world of sustainability. Our guests today are the founders of Yamu, Tule Sisi, if I've pronounced that right, and Sifiso Ngabinda, I can get that one out. Welcome, guys. Thank you for joining us in studio.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Really good to have you with us. So, Yamu started up in 2016, from what I understand. Tell us a little bit more about what Yamu is. I found this an interesting, really interesting space. So, tell us a little bit about what it is and why you started Yamu.
Yeah, so just growing up in the townships, you know, it's your small businesses. Yeah, these are your guys selling T-shirts to, you know, car repairs, you know, shoemakers and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You know, those guys, they literally built small businesses, you know, like they built thriving businesses. But what happened was large businesses came in, you know, with big marketing spends. You know, so your smaller guys could not compete with the larger businesses in terms mm-hmm. of like how you advertise. So myself and Sfiso, you know, came together like in 2016, you know, our background is advertising, you know, so we sat together and we said, hey, let's do it. Let's do something about it. And mm-hmm. that's how Yamu was born. You know, we started off by, you know, creating free ads for small businesses on social media.
Okay, so yeah. you've created a platform, almost let me call this a platform within a platform, if you could put it that way,
yeah.
where you allow, and I think, if I use a correct technical term, people may use the word microsites within, from a, let's call it the good old internet terminology, so a microsite, somebody's ability to present themselves within the framework of your internet sites and your Facebook presence and the likes, but it allows them to then be present on your platform per se and engage with their market. So tell us a little bit more about your guys' journey. I mean, you've obviously, this doesn't just drop out of the sky and you say we have a history, so maybe Tule, we can start with you. Give us a little bit of background and then we'll go to Sophie. So give us some background, you know, I was born on. Give us some background. You grew up where?
Yeah.
Give us some background.
So
on you guys.
I grew up in the Eastern Cape, a township called Danzani, raised by my grandmother. My grandmother actually, you know, it's like she ran a couple of small businesses, obviously, to supplement income. So, yeah, so Eastern Cape, made my way to Cape Town and then Joburg, yeah. Studied graphic design.
Okay.
So my background is graphic design, and so I've worked in some of the country's leading advertising agencies.
Okay. And you, Sifiso?
A similar kind of story. Grew up in the township. I was actually born in Deep Kloof, just here in Soweto. Okay. I grew up with both mom and dad, which is, you know, but my dad was more of the street guy. Mm. He used to make memes and just small little businesses. And
hustler.
The hustle.
Yeah.
It's you can kind of say it's still within me now. Mm. So besides going into advertising, so I've also tried to start my own little businesses. And it actually made sense because I had like a creative mind as well. And now just merging the two with the business, it makes sense because that's how the whole thing started with Yumo. It was the how do we put what we've learned and share with the small businesses, because there's a lack in terms of how to get your products out there in the right way, you know. So that's where it kind of started.
So what's Yumo? Like, I'm trying to say this. So I'm like, my brain's racing here.
Yeah. So Yumo is an online marketplace.
No. The word, the name.
The name.
Yumo. There's actually a story.
There's actually a story.
So
there's always a story.
That's what I want.
So the one day, you know, just coming back from work and stuff, meet a seller who's actually selling. He was selling avocados. You know, he had this sign. On the sign, he had Yumo, and obviously, being curious and all, I asked him, "What does this mean?" And his feedback was that, you know, it's like you get more, you know, in terms of like you support my business, and you get proper quality, you know, So, yeah, and then you know, from that point, we decided to actually buy the name from him.
So does he still get royalties?
Oh yeah. Free ads.
Well, I must tell you, I think, and Belinda, you can step in here in terms of perspective on this, but I always think when it comes to especially the world of marketing and internet marketing, having something novel and different, you know, Yumo, you get more. You know, it just really positions, you know, and creates a brand. I mean, at the end of the day, what does Google actually mean? I mean, where did that name come from? I mean, you know,
it's a misspelling of Goggle.
It's a misspelling of
Goggle. It was a misspelling.
Yeah. Okay. That's where it came from. And you look at this and you think to yourself, well, you know, look at a brand that's been created. You know, I mean, amazing how a brand becomes a verb, you know. So we want to be in a space where, you know, in a few years' time, if you're looking for something in a marketplace, you just go Yumo. Yeah. You Yumo it. Yeah. Google it, you Yumo it. Okay. So, I mean, when we talk about access to market, I mean, that's, and we've identified that, and Melinda, you've been part of conversations that we've had around access to market being the primary challenge for businesses, especially small business in South Africa. Mm. I mean, I'm sure we always talk about resources, funding, and access to market. But I actually think that access to market probably trumps everything else. And I don't know what your view is on that. Could you share that view? Access to market is critical.
No, I think absolutely. Access to market is important. I think new things are cool, but does it address the need?
Yeah.
And I think I've said this many times before in previous interviews, where I think Google has addressed a huge need, and they're able to do it pretty well. Mm. And I think if you've got a new exciting product, there's a need for it. I think there's your access to market. Mm. And again, if you're able to give the customer what they need when they want in the manner that they want, then you address that.
Mm.
And I think that for me is probably the most important part.
And I think for me, so my question to you guys is, how do you go about making sure that your marketplace actually gives, let's call it, your customer's customer that access that they're looking for? I mean, you know, let's use an example. I'm a seller in a township environment, and I'm selling handmade bags. I know it's one of the examples that you guys refer to. How are you going to help me? Run me through kind of the process that you guys use, and how do you go about it?
Okay, so first of all, we'll probably we'll send out a message saying if you on Facebook on a social platform, saying that if there's anyone that's got a product they want to sell, we'll do a free ad for you. We let the market guide us in terms of what they really need. So, for example, if you receive that ad and you send us a message, we already started creating content for you. So we'll show you ways of how you can promote your bags. We'll share it on, because we pay for the media as well. So we do targeted ads, and we do it on the ground as well. So, and we've got a microsite that's already in the process. So what we'll do is that once we even do a TV, we're actually doing small little TV ads now. Wow. So we actually, you and your bag, you actually do like an infomercial kind of a. So we can actually promote. So we're actually in the space of content. You know,
so you become a content generator for all intents and purposes.
Oh yeah, definitely. And I think as well, so just to like jump in as well, it's like he's saying, it's like guy selling a t-shirt, you know, what Humor does is like, if I sell t-shirts in Deep Sloot, I'm reaching what a number of people, but with Humor, you know, it's, we've got quite a big reach as well. So it allows your brand to live in other areas. You know what I mean?
So I think there's an important thing there, that you effectively are not only creating access to marketplace, you're multiplying the marketplace. Right. Let's call it the traditional marketplace that your customer potentially came from. So, you know, if you were the t-shirt seller in Deep Sloot, you now can be the t-shirt seller anywhere in South Africa for all intents and purposes.
And Africa.
And Africa. As long as you've got data.
Basic human need.
Yeah, I think what's important though is when you expand your business or you make that offer that you're able to supply. Because often what happens is you want everyone to have visibility of your business, but are you able to get everywhere in Africa? Yeah. Are you able to deliver? So I think it's a very fine line. If you haven't got all the resources and you haven't geared your business up to be able to deliver, you can also damage your brand. So I think that's important.
Yeah. So now just give us an idea. How many participants have you got on the microsite right now?
So on the microsite currently, so we are currently just rebuilding that. So what we did was we launched a pilot. And what we did was got a number of small businesses to actually try and use the platform. And what we then did was we captured all those insights. You know, it's like, I don't need this button, I don't need that. And what we're doing now is actually improving that service against obviously the feedback from small businesses. And
So how many service providers have you got in your wider community per se?
Okay, so we're sitting on 25,000 at the moment, and this on Facebook, and Instagram is slowly starting to grow, and then Twitter as well. But on the ground, what we do is that we partner up with like local businesses as well. Mm-hmm. So, for example, we'll have a stand or a little booth where you can record your TV ad within the township, right? So what that does is that it gives us the content that we need, so we can actually push your product out. So we're actually building these little hubs, and we're actually sharing the... So we want it to be as much as an online market space, flea market, but at the same time, we still need to live on the ground.
Yes.
So early on, you said that you were a content creator.
Yeah.
What do you mean by that? I mean, are you literally helping the businesses to tell their own story?
Yeah.
And do you bring the brand to life?
Yes.
In a way that makes it able to live beyond the boundaries of Deep Sloot.
Yes.
Yeah.
So how do you go about doing that?
So I mean, if you look at models like you know, like your YouTube.
Yeah.
You know, you've got someone's video, but you are able to run ads on top of, you know, like that content. So that's the idea that we're doing here, where we actually generate content, you know, tell an interesting story about handmade bags, you know, and reach a number of people as well as doing that, you know, and also like place ads, you know, for bigger brands, you know, within those little videos that we do.
So essentially, we'll probably, because we come from that advertising background, so we'll look at you selling bags, do an infomercial, we'll put your product, we'll give you a logo, you know, to run, and the price. So it's a simple, we've got a little templates that we actually use for someone that wouldn't have resources to branding or marketing.
So I imagine that a lot of your clients, given that you've described them as being the small business owner from what you've spoken about as a township environment, they're not necessarily all tech savvy and all those kinds of things. So once you've got them in the online environment, do you facilitate the ability to maintain the electronic relationship with their customers, including the purchasing of the product?
Yeah, good question. It's actually very interesting. Like when we actually started out, this, we started out Yumo, you know, we expected it to be, you know, guys that are doing handbags to, you know, shoemakers and stuff like that. But actually not. I mean, these are actually high quality products that people are actually making. And also like the devices the small businesses have, you know, as well. You know, it's just like, this is like research that we have. You know, it's like people have access to technology, you know. You know, you've got small businesses that are operating, small business owners with four phones. You know what I mean? It's like, it's very interesting. It was interesting for us as well, right, to actually go like, oh, okay. You know, this Yumo can actually work, you know.
So essentially, when we started out, it was a product. We wanted to do this project from purely, we wanted to help people get their brand out there. Okay. And then it started evolving in itself, like in terms of, because we actually started engaging with the people and the customers, and they were the small businesses, they were requesting, how do I pay online? You know, if I want to buy this item, where can I get it? You know, because they're telling us what to do. So essentially, we're growing the microsite to accommodate those things that they keep on asking us. So we're doing the social media advertising, but we're also learning as we go.
Yes. Also like what we do as well, which is important for us as well, on social media, we don't just do ads. We empower small businesses as well with, you know, it's like how to bank, you know, how to how to save, how to, you know, like just like different things that we know that, okay, these are the things I need to run a small business. I need to know how to bank, you know. I need to know how to use my money. So we empower them with a lot of like content that we just source from the internet, and, you know.
So you keep your customer viable, so they can continue being your customer for a longer period of time.
It's a great enabling model.
Yeah.
From what I'm understanding, and enabling these businesses to be more than just the kind of one man selling. Yeah. Very interesting.
And also it goes back to the whole concept of building a community. Your community is teaching you who you must become so that you can build an even bigger community. That's awesome.
Yeah. So now, interestingly, earlier with Belinda, we were talking about who's responsible for marketing. You're a business that's all about marketing.
Yeah.
How do you experience, I mean, do people out there, you're dealing with very small companies, so it's the one person business, but you seem to have advanced your world quite significantly. I mean, when we talk about microsites and TV ads and the like, that's pretty sophisticated. Does the community out there see that marketing is the responsibility of everybody in the organization, or do people still think of marketing in their very traditional mindset? What has your experience has been? What are people saying?
I think it's a bit of both, you know, from our experience. And it's like they feel it's the entire organization, you know, and vice versa, and otherwise as well.
I think what's important as well for your business is that you need to understand the culture of your customers, so that when you drive those messages, again, you're acting as the enabler. So you're an extension of their marketing department, actually. And that must be quite tricky, because you've got a number of customers with different values and messages and culture. So how do you, I'd be interested to know, how do you manage all of that?
So how we do that is we create content around like products that people demand. You know, it's like we see in this product that's got huge reach, there's a lot of people that are interested in it. We look at those products and then we create content, you know, based on like, and another thing is very simple. It's like, it's writing stories around those different brands, you know, obviously based on highly on insight in terms of like, okay, this product is from East London. You know, how do people speak in East London? What are the things that are happening around East London? And then write the ad, you know, against that.
Yeah. So it's about knowing your community that you're addressing.
Yeah.
Now, just out of interest, I mean, how do you guys fund this model? Because this sounds like, you know, very grassroots, you engage with a market that needs support. But there's a cost base here. And I mean, when you know, in the same breath, you guys also are talking about, you know, TV ads, and I'm going, whoa, okay. That's got to.
It's always the finance. She always ruins our day by bringing finance into everything.
Marketing and finance, the crossover. Yeah. How do you fund this model?
I think, what we do is, like, we still work in advertising. By that I mean that, you know, we freelance and consult with companies, you know, and from that we put it into Yumo. You know, we put that money back into Yumo, and it's like, so, cause, but then again, it's like, it's also like the partnerships that we have as well. You know, there are people, you know, that we work with. You know, we don't necessarily pay them a thing, anything, but you know, we have a partnership on the ground with them.
So there's a strong social side to Yumo.
Yes,
would that be a fair statement to make?
Yeah,
I mean, yeah, but initially that's where everything kind of started.
Yeah.
I mean, as it grows, I mean, we're starting to see there's a demand in terms of the finance side where we need to be going right now in terms of developing the sites and you know, there's the developers that need to be paid and stuff like that. So we obviously working towards how we're going to get revenue in terms of keeping the website.
Because I think for us, that was the idea. You know, it's like, build a community first, you know, and build. So what we're doing now is we have a community, you know. Now we've got a marketplace.
Now you can commercialize
monetize and everything. Now we need to raise funds, you know, and build the platform that we want to build. And that's where we're at currently.
Okay. Okay, so I mean, what has been your biggest challenge in your business to date? We always ask this question of entrepreneurs. What's the biggest challenge to date?
Yeah, I think it's more finance, you know, because it's more like a start stop. I know it sounds like a cliche when you say finance, you know. It feels like it's always like a start stop. You know, it's like I'm doing something, I have to stop. Raise money again, start again. You know what I mean? It's like, that's, I think for us, that's been the challenge. You know?
Especially given your model.
Yeah.
No, look, I mean, it's always a challenge of, you know, what comes first, the marketplace, the funding.
Yeah.
What do I do first? Do I try and raise funding on a hope? Do I get the thing to work? And then, you know, do I work backwards? Do I sell vaporware?
Yeah.
Do I build the vaporware and make it real and then try and sell it?
Yeah.
I think I'm going to put you guys into this crossover. Any fintech entrepreneur with a marketing element, I think this is always a challenging space. You know, any let me call it content creation space always deals with the challenge of running the content, charging for the content. It's that kind of dichotomy. I think we ourselves experience that engagement on the show. You know, we create content for people to use and be part of, but ultimately somebody's got to help fund the platforms, etc. Now, I mean, something that we always try and ask people to do and help us out in the last few minutes that we have on the show, just the concepts of, what do you wish you had learned and knew prior to starting out? So if you had been sitting 5 years ago listening to a radio show, or, you know, a little further back, what are some of the things that you would have wanted to hear that you now know from experience that you wish somebody had kind of spoken about? Because this is an opportunity. There are people listening to the show and listening to the podcast that are going to learn from you. So this is your pay it forward moment where you can say, hey guys, watch out for X, Y, or Z in this type of business. Both of you, what would your learning each be from either of you?
5 years ago.
Or no, maybe even 3 years ago, however far back you wish to go. What is that key pay it forward learning that you've had?
Partnerships. Right, partners.
Partnerships.
Yeah. What I've learned is that you can start a business, but with the wrong partners, and at the end of the day, if you don't see eye to eye, it's kind of hard to even continue, you know. And probably the idea of the business, it was driven through passion, or there was a reason why you did it, but it's just the right partnerships. You know, you can't be, and another thing, you can't be the jack of all trades. You know, you need specialists in certain areas like finance or marketing, whatever it is. So the right partnerships, I'll say, if I learned that.
Yeah, okay. So
yeah.
People would know from looking at pictures of me that I'm a 6 foot six big guy. And I had somebody who is a lot shorter than me and is bald. And he made the comment. He said, when I was working at X, I was actually Richard's height and had a full head of hair. And then I'm beaten down and lost all the hair in the process. But yeah, so that's partnerships, choosing the right partners.
The right partners.
Were you, Tilly?
For me, definitely numbers. I mean, numbers, you know, in terms of like money, you know, running a business, you know, finance is important. You know, you can have the most amazing product, you know, if you don't understand the numbers, oof, you know, it's going to be rough.
It'll kill you.
Yeah.
Lack of numbers is going to kill you. Well, I think that's a very valid comment. Knowing and understanding your numbers, knowing what your business model is and how you're going to monetize it.
Yeah.
And I think you guys are still obviously going through that process. And we applaud you for your social thinking, but you've got to be able to monetize it, guys. That's very important.
Yeah.
Okay, so if people are interested in engaging with you, how do they get hold of you? So give us some contact details. You've got a website, obviously.
Yeah, so we've got a website. Yeah, I mean, there's still a few things that you can do. We're still building. Umo.co.za.
And that's spelled, so it's www.
.umo.co.za. If you're selling, you can log in, sign up. You know,
That's not still working.
And also
Facebook.
Facebook as well. We're on Message Facebook. You. Search for Umo.
Twitter.
Instagram.
Instagram. Yeah. So you've got all the platforms covered. Okay. That's great.
But otherwise, you know, if you want to chat straight with us, you know, you can drop me an email at tule@umo.co.za. Mm-hmm. That's T-H-U-L-E.
Okay. Yeah. Or Safisa, I would imagine. Also
at Umo.
Great. That's great. Thank you very much, guys. It's been great having you on the show. Tuli and Safisa, founders of Umo. We really appreciate your insights, and we appreciate what you're doing for the communities that you serve. Because at the end of the day, we all know that small business is the way that this country is going to succeed. We know that lifting the game with small business is key. So thank you for your contribution to that.
Thank you very much.
Next up, the Youth Leadership Platform. Stay with us.
This is CliffCentral.com.